And welcome to another edition of The War Room here on KLKC Radio. I am your host, Sean Fry. Today's guest is going to be LeBec County head volleyball coach Heather Wilson. They won a league title in the SEK League a couple weeks ago and ended up making the state tournament as well. So Heather Wilson coming off just a ticker tape year for the LeBec County Grizzlies volleyball program in her fifth season. She's going to join me for the third time on this show. So she's just becoming a regular here on the War Room. And we'll catch up with her, talk about what that league season was like. She's also an assistant coach for the basketball team over there for the girls basketball team at LeBec County. So we're going to discuss what the winter season may look like. And what the winter season may look like is what I want to talk about before we bring her into studio. Winter, I think, is going to be a lot scarier than the fall sports that we mostly got through in high schools across the state of Kansas. And that is because transmission of the coronavirus pandemic is a lot riskier indoors than it is outside. In one study that I published a big report on Friday and Saturday in the Parsons Sun. I'm recording this before that report is published, but one study that I'm citing looked at 20,000 cases of COVID-19, and 94% were the result of indoor transmission, and the 6% of cases that were outdoor transmission were the result of stuff like political rallies and farmers markets where social distancing and mask wearing wasn't adhered to. So, I mean, just the worst possible circumstances of outdoor transmission occurred, and that only accounted for 6% of a batch of 20,000. In one study that I saw on 538, a website that looks at a lot of data for stuff like that. So, indoor transmission is such a huge risk that you're seeing school districts and Keisha across, you know, this state of Kansas start to, I think, take a lot more stringent measures with regards to crowd restrictions and sanitation and mask wearing and social distancing. They're going to be a lot more ardent about those restrictions this winter than I think you saw in the fall. Not that schools weren't ardent, but, you know, mostly at football games, you know, attendance caps, with the exception of the postseason, which were regulated by Keisha, attendance caps during the regular season were very rare, if non-existent, especially in Southeast Kansas, because you could socially distance. That's not really the case in high school gyms, and I think, you know, it's going to be the other side of the coin, is we're going to see most high school gyms for basketball and wrestling have attendance restrictions. So brace for impact on that. One school that made, a big change early is the Cherryville High School wrestling program is going to duels only, and I think you'll see a lot more of that too. I think you're going to see way more teams just go to duels only, and I think that'll be that's a good thing. You know, it's a proactive step, and I think, you know, it's certainly not the wrong one. So as I said at the top of the show, my guest is Heather Wilson. She's the head volleyball coach at LeBec County High School, and she's also the assistant girls basketball coach. She's the theater instructor, theater teacher, drama instructor, whatever you want to call it, and she's putting on a play as well. And so she does a little bit of everything on there. She's going to be my guest today when we come back from this initial break. I'm Sean Fry here on the War Room on KLKC. Don't go anywhere. We've got Heather Wilson coming up live. And welcome back to the War Room here on KLKC. I'm your host, Sean Fry. And for the third time on the show, but for the first time as a SEK League champion head coach, I have LeBec County volleyball coach, assistant basketball coach, theater instructor, extraordinaire, mother extraordinaire, Heather Wilson. Heather, how are you doing today? You came in during the middle of a school day during your plan period, so I'm very appreciative of that. Thank you very much.
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
I feel like that's just all anybody can say at this point is doing great because we're glad to be here.
Exactly. We've been preaching that for a long time. That Amen. Every day is a blessing. So
So as I just said, you guys, LeBec County Volleyball, you guys won the SEK League this year. You know, right before we started recording this, I did an interview with Chet Kuplin for his radio show here on KLKC. And I talked about you guys and I told the story of the comeback you guys had against Independence at Independence on a de facto SEK championship night. You guys are trailing 21-16 in the third set, and you guys come back and win that. So the very first question I want to throw at you is, what were you thinking? What was everything going through your mind when you're down 21-16?
Well, I felt like we were about to let it slip away, but I still had a ton of confidence in us. I remember looking up at the clock and the score and thinking, hey, we're still in it, we just need to get a side out, we'll be fine, which happened. And then I knew our next rotation was a really great rotation for us where we score a lot of points mm-hmm. in it. And so
with Anna Dean serving,
right? With Anna Dean serving and Carson, you know, in her best spot, which would be the right side because she's left-handed, mm-hmm. And she had already played well that game and had been come in clutch earlier in the match, and so I felt really good about that. I just thought we need to get a little bit of luck and continue to be positive. Although I will say we had a timeout that I ripped him. You know, I did. I you that's know, the, reminded animated. Him,
and so I was standing right behind your bench,
yeah,
6 feet from it. And that was the most animated I've ever seen you get.
Yeah, I was pretty.
And you are an expressive animated person. Sure. But in terms of how that was coupled, not necessarily with anger, but with mm-hmm. with intensity, that's I think the highest I've ever seen you got.
Yeah, I thought they were going to let it slip away. Is really kind of where I was at. And I had been super positive the whole rest of the game, and that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. the second set, the positivity wasn't working. And so sometimes, you know, you got to remind them to get real, you know, mm-hmm. like, let's be realistic right now. You've been winning the whole, you know, we won the first set pretty handily. And,
you dominated, I think, the first 20 points of that first set. I think it was 15-5 at one point. Mm-hmm. But then from kind of – and so you ended up taking the first set. But during the back half of that first set and then most of the second set and then the first half and then the first two-thirds of the third set, that was Independence's match.
Yeah.
They were probably playing – they were playing the better volleyball through a higher proportion of the match probably. Mm-hmm. Everything counts equally. That's why you go up 15-5.
Yeah.
Because
– I think what we did was – I mean, we knew we felt like we were the better team. We'd been the better team – you know, most of the season, we just hadn't had the chance to face them again. And mm-hmm. We had a lot of confidence going in. Then I think the nerves, really, we weren't nervous coming in. We were nervous mm-hmm. as we were progressing through the match. And I think, you know, you got a bunch of girls who want to win a league championship but haven't yeah. done it lately, at least in volleyball. And I think we had to settle in and we had to figure out that.
You almost wonder if the 15-5 start in that first set made them more nervous because they were like, oh my gosh, we're playing so well right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, a little bit. I think really, you know, volleyball goes on strings. So it's peaks and valleys whenever, you know, who's ever in the right peak in the right time and not in the valley seems like that's who wins the match. And so I was just hoping that we continued to push to the peak, you know, yeah. and not say in the valley. But mm-hmm. I really believe that we just had some errors mm-hmm. that were kind of uncharacteristic. Yeah. A couple net calls that were silly. We struggled with we dug like amazingly.
Oh yeah,
we just didn't.
Did you have like 90 some?
I mean, it was crazy. Yeah. Like 96, I think, or something. And we were digging balls, and then we would attack back and would err, you know, on the yeah. attack. And that's not necessarily that characteristic for us. So mm-hmm. I just knew it was just nerves. We need to settle in. And they did, and they capitalized right there at the end, for sure.
Is what you told your team FCC right?
Sure. I literally said, you know, like quit assuming anything, first of all, and, you know, play like you're capable of playing. Play to your potential. Quit playing scared. Play to win. I think we were doing things thinking, okay, they'll error. We'll just, you know, give them the ball back. And we were tipping a ton at that point and yeah. Not attacking. And we typically are an attacking club. So, you know, I said pretty – I yelled at my front row. Mm-hmm. I told my front row they needed to be, you know, that we were passing well and that they needed to put it together. And they responded. Mm-hmm. My best players responded for sure.
You know, that whole week, and you and I have talked about this at length multiple times, but that whole week it was just such a blur. And really, that was only like stop two of three stops that
right,
week.
Right, right.
You had senior night on Tuesday, and then you had sub-state on that Saturday, which you also beat Independence. You beat them in two sets that match. I wanted to ask you, though, you know, going into that Thursday, you know, de facto SEK championship night at Independence, you know, all the scenarios for what had to play out there. Chanute needed to win and then needed Independence to beat you to get the league title. Mm-hmm. Independence needed to win both matches. You guys had the easiest road and you just had to win the one you were scheduled to play.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, that was such a, those scenarios became apparent basically as a result of your senior night mm-hmm. and made somewhat possible by Parsons upsetting sure. Independence.
Yeah. You forget about too. We had the Anderson County win the Saturday yeah. before too. went over to Anderson County and kicked everybody's butt over there.
Yeah, so. Going into that week, you had already won six in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, you ended the season really hot. Mm-hmm. Going into that, so when Tuesday became Wednesday and Wednesday became Thursday, what was the mood around practice? Because you knew the scenarios and you knew you were one win away. So you talked about you weren't nervous coming in. Mm-hmm. What were the conversations like between you and assistant coach Vollmer and your players, knowing the path you had in front of you?
We literally quit talking about winning. That is what helps, you know? When you focus so much on winning and the outcome, you're not focusing play to play. Mm-hmm. So we just talked about playing well. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we play well? What do we look at when you're not, even when you're not playing well in the middle of a match, how do you respond and adjust when they're giving you something that you're not expecting? And I think playing hard, playing together, doing what we are capable of doing, scoring points. We just talk about score point and then, like, get out of the rotation, score point, figure out how to, you know, side out, which is scoring a point. But yeah, sometimes we focus, and particularly for girls who aren't professionals, I mean, boys too, right? That are 16, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. That's a lot of pressure saying, oh, you know, we talked at the beginning of the year, hang a banner, hang a banner, hang a banner. But we quit saying that week, we got to win this. We got to win this. Because if you say that, you put so much pressure on them in that moment to get it done. They already had put all that pressure on themselves anyway. Mm-hmm. So we just talked about what do we do play by play? Like, what do we do moment to moment that can make us successful? So we talk about being aggressive, talk about passing well, scoring points on our serves, you know, doing the little things that we know to do, not making those errors that we ended up making in the middle of the second set, second game, I guess. But it worked. The psychology worked until about midway through the second game when, you know, they realized. And we also, even then, it was like, well, we were one up. Like, we don't have the pressure. They've got the pressure. I really kind of thought we'd get it in the second game because I kept talking to them about, hey, they're the ones that are under pressure right now. Let's just roll, man. Let's just go one moment at a time. And that didn't work.
They did not go gentle.
It did not. They did not.
Oh, my God. And, you know, credit to them. You know,
yeah, credit to them. Exactly.
And if anything, I feel like that probably makes a league title a little more fulfilling because guess what? You had to fight tooth and nail to get it.
And, you know, you got to hand it to them, too, because they'd been in quarantine for 2 weeks, which I think they recognized how special every moment was, you know. And we obviously had a couple kids in quarantine then, too, but they had been coming, you know, that Tuesday was their first, right? They
hadn't practiced in 2 weeks.
And so, you know, they were flat. They were fired up, but you could tell they were not seasoned like, you know, they had been. But, you know, anything can happen in volleyball.
And it's crazy how much progress they made just in a few days and really over the course of that week.
Yes, definitely.
Because they opened with a win over Chanute, but then that second match in Altamont was a loss to Parsons. Right. And no disrespect to Parsons, but a team competing for a league title shouldn't lose.
Yes, and Parsons played phenomenal that night. Absolutely. I mean, they played, and I had seen, you know, hints of that the whole year. They put the whole game together. They were using their middle exceptionally well, and she was just creaming balls.
And she's going to be, you know.
Yes, she's a stud, and she's, you know, was coming out of the middle then and looked, and they weren't ready for that. They had no idea that she was going to come out of the middle because I knew she'd moved her since they'd played them last.
Yeah.
So that just took them by surprise, and, you know, volleyball, you can turn around and it's done. And I think Indy kind of had it looked like they hadn't practiced in that second one. So,
you know. You've been around LeBec County athletics for generations at this point.
Yeah.
And very much a testament to your consistency and steady presence there. You've been an assistant under Chrissy Snyder for such a long time. We have basketball season coming up. And before we talk about all the challenges you may face with regards to COVID or anything like that, one thing that hasn't happened in a long time, remind me the year it was before you won a league title. Was it 2000?
It was 2004 for the league title.
But the volleyball team, and then you guys made a state tournament in 2010.
Right.
The volleyball team hasn't had this type of success in at least a decade. Mm-hmm. And a league title and state tournament not since 2004. That's a long time. It's about, you know, 16 years.
Right.
What type of carryover effect do you feel like that might have going into winter? Because these girls should be nothing but confident right now.
I would think so. I mean, I every year in the last couple of years, we have felt like we were right at the cusp of being a challenging, you know, a team that mm-hmm. everyone was concerned about in the league. And I know from talking to, you know, our league coaches and going to coaches meetings and things that we were always a tough team to play and they were always concerned about us. But for whatever reason, we could never finish a match. We would lose 22-25 or 23-25 mm-hmm. or go to three and those types of things. And so I feel like we've figured out how to win. You know, we figured out that we're just as qualified, you know, and that we're just as talented. We just have to have that kind of confidence. And I expect that that will carry over. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. I'm retaining a lot of my team, not all of them. We have to replace some really important members and our seniors, but the majority of my team comes back. So
what do you think about what I was getting at is carry over to basketball?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously, you know, LeBitt County basketball, girls basketball, has been nothing but success since I've been here, mm-hmm. and really nothing but success since Chrissy Snyder and you guys have been mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
But is there an extra injection of confidence or energy coming off such a successful volleyball season? Because, I mean, you guys have won a league title 5 of the 6 years that I've been here in Parsons. And most of those volleyball seasons, with the exception of basically last year, were around 500, give or take. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously you guys still had great success.
Yeah.
What is those girls' mentality right now?
I think they just love playing together, too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just another season they get to play together. I mean, they're a real tight-knit group. They're a lot of fun to coach. They're fun to watch. I think they're confident, but they're also smart enough and humble enough to recognize that everyone is going to try to attack them. And, you know, everyone wants to get them. And Coach Snyder talks about that a lot, that, mm-hmm. you know, people in our area take winning for granted at LeBec County, particularly the basketball. And, you know, volleyball is different because you play the same team over and over and over again. So in basketball, you know, you can play a Girard or a Chanute twice in a season, whereas mm-hmm. you know, in volleyball, you might play that same team that's really a league title contender or a really great team 6, 7, 8 times in a season. So
it's boring playing Independence over and over
again.
Right.
I think last year we played them 9 times, you know, and took them to 3 several times, but never got them beat. And the year before that, same deal, and we only mm-hmm. beat them once. And so, like, records are deceiving. I mean, Bishop Miege, that won 4A state volleyball this year, with, you know, had like one of the worst records. Like
in
they
the
were
class.
Like, yeah, in the whole class, yeah, or in any class, really.
Yeah.
And so, like, in volleyball, it's different. Like, it really, really is. And people look at losses at a tournament, and you know, mm-hmm. but I believe you got to play good teams to get better. And it was evident when we played Ottawa that we were a little bit outclassed. Mm-hmm. We battled some, but they just did a lot of things that we just couldn't handle. And they were super fast, and we need to play teams that are that mm-hmm. fast all the time to compete at that level. So.
Yeah, and I mean, they, you know, what stood out about their speed is you guys are a fast team mm-hmm. in the SEK League mm-hmm. and in this area.
Right.
They just flew.
And they got on a roll too, and we made them look a million times better than they actually are. But you know,
there's a world where you win that match, and I think.
Yeah.
Even most realities, you take at least a set. But
yes.
That, what was it, a 13-14-0 start for them in
the
first set?
It was just a mockery. What I thought could happen, you know, what my fear was that they'd get on a roll and we'd get scared, and mm-hmm. and we did. We got very scared, and then eventually got to the point where, well, it doesn't really matter at this point. We're just going to play hard, and you know, and we the girls didn't give up. I will say that, you mm-hmm. know, they played respectfully, and they. You know, they represented us mm-hmm. like we figured they would. But in terms of basketball and these girls and their mentality is most of them are more confident in basketball. Not all. Okay. You know, Anna's maybe an exception.
She's very confident probably all the way around.
She is. Right. But most of them are more, you know, more confident on the basketball court and look more like basketball players than they do volleyball players.
Carson and Maddie. I would imagine.
Yes, for sure. But, you know, that's always been their primary sport, the sport that mm-hmm. they loved. In fact, I convinced Maddie Brandon to play volleyball her 8th grade year. So she'll tell you that story. And she's become a good volleyball player, where she was already a great basketball player. So
yeah.
It's one of those things that I think that it's the sport that they feel, you know, confident in. You know, and we've got kids that are playing club now more, and that's changing. So the dynamic and the culture of, you know, playing more outside of the season has changed. And everyone realizes that you got to do that in volleyball, or you're going to be a step behind for sure. So.
you know, we're heading into our, you know, our break here. We have about maybe three, four minutes before we go to a break. I wanted to ask you about the production you're putting on right now.
Yeah.
I think it's unfair to not have you talk about that if, when you're a guest on my show. You are, you know, so I'm just going to leave it open-ended. You can tell everybody what the production is. Maybe what some of the challenges that are unique in the pandemic to putting on a theater, to putting on a play. Through that, what will be? I'm always focused on what crowd restrictions will be at basketball games. What are crowd restrictions at in the auditorium over there?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm gonna knock on wood, but right now, because as if you'd asked me last Friday, I felt really confident about producing a show the following week, and then we had some quarantine situations, so we moved the show back to next week. So now it's the 19th, 20th, and the 21st. Mm-hmm. I just recently found out that we have another student quarantined. And if I lose any more in a production of 13, it's going to be very difficult to produce. But at this point, we are doing it next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, 7 p.m. in Harrison Auditorium on the Altamont campus, or Labatt County High School campus in Altamont. And crowd restrictions are unique in Harrison because there are 2,000 seats. So we can,
it's a big auditorium.
We absolutely can handle, you know, 200-300 people without any problem. We're going to mark off rows, and then you'd sit with your, you know, your families in units, in individual rows, but every other row would be marked off, so you wouldn't have to really deal with a whole lot of other people. The show is a one-act musical, which sounds like it's really short. It's actually about an hour and 25 minutes, but it's a play about connectivity, ironically, in the middle of the pandemic where we're not feeling very connected. It's a song cycle, so there's a lot of singing. It's almost operetta, if you know what I mean by that, where they're singing the multitude of the production. So it's constant songs.
Yeah.
And with that is always difficult because, you know, you're worried about, you know, transmission of any kind of virus and things like that. And so the kids will be masked. But
as they perform.
As they perform, but it's a clear mask, and it's a mask that will work in order to sing from. And they did the other day. We tried them out, and they're very happy with them compared to what they're usually using in rehearsal, which is a cloth mask that really restricts their voice and their sound.
Oh, yeah.
But it's an exciting show, and we've got a lot of talented kids, and the restrictions are just like sports. You know, you worry every morning. I worry every morning and every night, what phone call am I going to get? And, you know, in theater...
You hate when your phone rings.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And in theater... You know, like, just like sports, you got to find the next replacement. Who's next up? Well, you know, it's like varsity athletics. You know, you don't have, normally you have a JV team to bump up. Well, in this particular show, it's made up of my advanced theater kids. And so I don't have a JV group to bring up. And so we can't do it, you know.
By the way, an hour and a half one-act musical, credit to those kids. That's a lot of endurance and stamina to basically sing nonstop the entire time.
It is. It for sure is. They are definitely, you know, focused on, like, telling the story. And the story is about college students who are in a physics class, and they're trying to understand the relationship with people and, you know, their own place in their own world. And so it tells a lot of unique stories individually about college life. But it also applies to anyone, like parent relationships, friends, lovers, you know, it's just kind of runs the gamut of life stories.
What's the name of the play?
The Theory of Relativity.
There we go. Heather, we're going to go to a quick break. It'll end the on-air portion if people want to listen to more of what Heather has to say. I know you're on a time restriction, so we'll probably go another 10, 15 minutes at most. We'll talk a little bit about your girls' basketball season. Not the Labette County girls' basketball season, which you're the assistant of there. Talk a little bit about that, about, you know, what winter sports might look like. But thanks for coming on as always. You are welcome here.
Thank you.
We'll go to a quick break. If you're listening on the radio, that'll do it. Head online. You can get this show on Apple Podcasts, on Podbean, on the KOKC website. I tweet out a link every time, and it should be, you know, very accessible. We'll go to a quick break here on KOKC. I'm Sean Fry, host of The War Room. Don't go anywhere. And we're back here on The War Room, here on KOKC. I'm your host, Sean Fry, joined by Labette County head volleyball coach, assistant basketball coach, theater instructor. Is there anything she doesn't do, Heather Wilson?
I wouldn't go that far.
We were talking off air a little bit as we kind of transitioned to segments here, and you mentioned your daughter, Shelby Wilson. She and you were talking about her hectic schedule that she's going to have with the start of basketball season, as well as participating in the play you're putting on that we just talked about. I wanted to ask you something that did slip my mind, and you bringing up Shelby reminded me of it. And I know we spent half our show talking about that Wednesday at Independence or Thursday at Independence already, but I assume Shelby rode home with you that night after you finally got back to school, got everything done, and then went back home. Mm-hmm. What did you guys talk about on that ride home?
Oh, I think, did she
fall asleep?
Yeah, she was pretty tired. I mean, I think the thing that probably is hard for anybody to really grasp is that, you know, during games and during the season, I'm very much coach until we hit the car, and then I'm mom. Yeah. So I just told her I was proud of her, you know, and I was proud of every kid, you know, I was super proud of all of our kids because they could have laid down and died, and, you know, and I was proud of her resilience. I felt like she was really toward the end of the match, the beginning of the match, maybe not as much, but played older than she is and played mature and tried to do her best to keep everyone focused on the goal, you know, and not emotional. Mm-hmm. And that's always tough. It's tough being a coach's kid, period. So.
Oh, yeah, it is. I think your approach reminds me a lot of Anthony Houck's approach over at Parsons. He's had multiple kids go through there. He's had his son Brett and now his son Ethan, and he's going to have his son Andrew go through there at some point. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a notion, and I'm sure the stereotype is a stereotype for a reason because it probably exists. It does exist in some places, but what I see out of you guys is you're probably harder on Shelby, and he's harder on Brett and Ethan than the average player because he wants to make no mistake that there is no preferential treatment. I'm curious as to what that dynamic is like with you because Shelby is a very talented volleyball player. She's a starting setter on a varsity team as a sophomore. How do you deal with that dynamic and people that may look at her and say, oh, that's a coach's daughter, no wonder she's playing?
Oh, there's a lot of that happens, for sure. I mean, and we'd be kidding ourselves if we didn't think that people didn't make that assumption always, all the time.
You mean people aren't always reasonable and they're all volleyball experts and they can all recognize
not.
That?
Definitely not. And I think that is the part of the problem. If it was basketball, it would be a little different because everyone understands the rules and understands the dynamics in a basketball game or football, possibly.
Chrissy Snyder doesn't care. Chrissy Snyder was going to put on the floor who's going to give you guys the best chance to win, both in that game and probably over the long run, too.
Yes,
she's going to do what's best for that program, and she doesn't care who that kid is.
Yeah, and we talked about that. I mean, and I tell the players that from the very beginning, but it always is something that creeps in your mind. Are you doing the right thing? Are you, you know, are you seeing her in a different way than really is actuality or reality, you know? And I try to protect myself by asking the opinion of my assistants as well as other college coaches in the area that have seen us play and make sure that I'm staying, you know, to the grindstone and putting the right team on the floor.
Put your own checks and balances.
Exactly. And I have to do that. I think that's important as a head coach.
What was the, you know, I'm all the dynamic between an assistant coach and a head coach, you know, no two are alike at any level and even across the same levels. You know, every assistant has different roles. What would you say, you know, what is one impact that Ballmer has had? And it can be volleyball, basketball, whatever. What is one thing that she's done that's really not necessarily changed, but maybe adapted or evolved the culture at Lubbock County since she came back?
Oh, for sure. She's knowledgeable. And it's like having a second assistant, you know, right next to you. I mean, sorry, a second head coach right next to you. And, you know, I don't see her as an assistant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see her as an advisor, a confidant, you know. And during the match, she doesn't, you know, volleyball is different because I don't have her there all the time. It's only during, you know, tournaments or sub-state or something because she's playing her own game at the same time. But during the match, we don't have a lot of conversations, but the ones we have are really impactful. Like, should I yank her? Should we go? You know, do I need to pull the trigger? That kind of thing. I think you become pretty autonomous during a game. You have to as a head coach in volleyball. That's different than basketball. But during the regular season, you know, definitely she made a huge impact of her being on campus and just the ability for her to get the gym ready and all the detail things that I hate to do. She is so good at and makes my job just coaching and watching game film and preparing for who we're playing next so much easier. So she's made my life a million times easier. But I'll also say, you know, she'll tell me if she thinks and she's not confident about, you know, maybe a player or a situation we're in, she's open and I trust her opinion and we have a good conversation about mm-hmm. that. And that mimics Coach Snyder and my relationship as well, I think.
Yeah. One thing, so, you know, I saw you last night. We're recording this on a Friday. So I saw you on Thursday. I was going around doing my basketball season previews. You guys were getting ready for a parents meeting. Probably a different parent meeting than you ever had. You know, all the tables are spread out and had disinfectant all over them and everything. I mean, it was, you know, it's just a different atmosphere than you're probably just used to having it in a classroom or something like that.
Yes.
And obviously that is because of the COVID pandemic we're in. Winter sports, I think, are a lot scarier in a lot of ways because it's everything's inside and everybody's huddling in to avoid the cold, and indoor transmission is a much higher risk factor than outdoor transmission. But you're the volleyball coach, and I think a lot of administrators are looking at, okay, what kind of restrictions do we have for volleyball that can carry over to basketball and wrestling?
Yeah.
But going back to that parents' meeting, what was your message to them and Snyder's and your guys' message?
I think number one was, you know, we're gonna do all we can to protect your kid, but also to keep them playing. And during volleyball season, we discovered that, I mean, we didn't have a problem till the very, very end of the season. And really, our problem was not related to volleyball at all. It was related to a classroom quarantine where they were close to each other in a classroom. So none of our kids ever got COVID during the season. So that's great. And I think some of the reason for that was we did a lot of cleaning. We did a lot of social distancing when we could. We disinfected everything. We talked about the girls washing their hands before and after practice. And I think those types of things were really great. The other thing that we always talk to parents about is that we love their kids and that Coach Snyder does a great job of developing relationships. I think I do as well. I mean, I'm sure people would disagree with that from the outside, but my girls always know how I feel about them. Coach Snyder's kids always know that how she feels about them. And even though sometimes we can't play the kids in the way that they would like to be, you know, like you can only get five kids on the floor at a time, just like I can only get six kids on the floor at a time, that doesn't, what they do for us as athletes is not how we feel about them as human beings they're our kids. And we're developing them as young ladies. We're developing them as moms and people who are going to go out and work and have relationships in their lives. And we're trying to help them become better people. And one way to do that is to figure out what their role is on the team. And that might be the best darn cheerleader. That might be the starting point guard. You know, everybody's got a different role, and that's going to change with COVID week to week, day to day. We got to be super flexible. But there's a place for every kid on our team. There really is. And we do have to cut occasionally. But usually the cut is more of a gift to the kid when you know there's going to be a really difficult time for them to play. And they can't see that yet. And, you know, it's a lot of work, right? Basketball is a lot of work. Volleyball is a lot of work. And so we want them to feel successful. And I think Coach Snyder did a great job of saying last night that we want to put a kid in a situation that they're going to be successful in. And back to the setting situation, why I pulled the trigger on Shelby and maybe not another setter was I felt like she could do the best job at the time, and that changes day to day, you know, like it, you know, it really does. And put us in the best situation to win and make us the most successful. And I think barring, you know, any of the players, you know, I want to help them, not be uncomfortable on the floor. You know, we want them to be uncomfortable in practice and trying new things. But in a game, we need them to be comfortable and know their role and be able to, succeed in that, and we try to give them the best opportunity to succeed, which then usually equates to more wins, right? And that equates to what everyone sees as a continuity in the offense or continuity in the defense or looking clean in volleyball, right? Is when you're putting it together and everyone's rolling. There's a lot of dynamics and things that go with that, but I think ultimately we love our kids even if they don't start for us. We love our kids even if, you know, they're number 28 instead of number one, you know. So and sometimes that's hard for parents and the community to see because they're only seeing the game,
Yeah.
And they're not seeing practice and conversations that we have outside of practice, mm-hmm. and moments that we catch them and check on them and, mm-hmm. And develop relationships. So, cause like, I'll write a recommendation letter for every one of my kids. And I tell them day one, I'm like, I want to write you a really great recommendation letter. I cannot wait mm-hmm. for you to bring me the form, you know, so that I can do that for you, because I know what kind of work you put in.
Mm-hmm. How many jobs do you think you've gotten people out there?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's funny you say that, because I do a ton of recommendations, a ton. Mm-hmm. I probably do 40 during the spring for my theater kids for scholarships.
Okay.
And then job-wise, I probably do between 12 and 15 a year. Just phone calls that are recommendations for kids that are going out looking for work, or mm-hmm. that are professionals that are 5 years, you know, outside. I mean, Coach Ballmer, when she went to Erie, you know, I did a recommendation for her there.
She did a great job there, by the way.
She was great. She was great. She continues to be great. So mm-hmm. we're real blessed to have her on staff for sure.
Last thing, and then I'll get you out the door. You know, what is, we talked a lot in the summer about kind of your, you know, the COVID aspect of everything, and kind of what you felt about the feasibility of fall sports. Same kind of questions on winter. What fears do you have? What confidence do you have that there will be some semblance of a season gotten through or accomplished?
Well, I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
Generally. So I'm going to go with the optimistic route and say that I think COVID's something we're going to have to live through, you know, in terms of we've got to figure out how to push through it while letting our kids, who are generally healthy, even when they get it, you know, and the detriment is not allowing them to learn these life lessons that they're learning in sports. And and that's a real scary thing. So I'm optimistically going to say we can get through, you know, as many games as we possibly can. Yeah. So
now, and people say live with it, and I think you say live with it. When you say live with it, you mean double down on all the guidelines.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's some people who say, oh, we just need to learn to live with this. And that means they just don't care.
No. Yeah. Mistake. I'm saying, like I told my theater kids literally an hour ago, I said, this weekend, you need to, what's important to you? You want to be on stage next week? You're going nowhere. You're staying home. You're quarantining yourself. You're even with your family that you're not sure about, because some of our quarantine situations have been family related. Wear your mask. Wear your mask in your room. You know, sacrifice a little bit of that freedom for on the weekend.
It can't be that hard to play Xbox.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Watch TikTok, kids. Watch TikTok. And I mean, I think for sure, like, there has to be some sacrifice to get what we want. Mm-hmm. However, you know, we're going to mitigate as much risk as we can. And then I think we'll have to be smart. You know, if cases go way up, and we know in this community cases are moving up, that, you know, recognize, okay, we need to take some days off of practice. We need to be smart about this. We need to go maybe online for a few days, you know, just to, you know, clear the space and make sure that everyone's okay. And then, you know, obviously we don't want to hurt anyone, but if it's safe, let's keep trying to make it happen.
And I know Keisha's looking at what a lot of those
moratorium,
extending the moratorium is the idea that I think I get the most behind.
Totally get behind that, and not just because I want an extra Christmas break. I think it makes sense. I mean, everyone's gonna 25th, everyone's with family, probably 90%. So the days after that are risky, because you don't know, and so therefore we stick them back on the court on the 28th.
No way.
And you don't know yet if they have, you know, that's scary a little bit for anybody, let alone, you know, a bunch of kids that are wrestling or playing basketball. So I get behind that totally. And then we can start clean and hopefully have fewer cases in January.
Absolutely. Well, Heather, Coach Wilson, thank you very much for coming on. You're one of my favorite guests, and that's why you've been on three times.
Oh, thanks.
So,
I appreciate it.
And I'm sure, you know, so I've been doing the show for about a year. You've been on three. So in 2 years, it'll be 6, 7. And you're just going to become a staple of this.
All right.
Put your photo up on the wall.
It's always a pleasure.
Hey, congratulations on the volleyball season you had. I've told you that before, but it was really fun to watch all year long, seeing that whole journey, but particularly, obviously, those last 2 or 3 weeks where you guys were just rolling. I think you won 13 in a row before you ran into Ottawa in the state tournament.
Correct.
I mean, it's just, you know, and you basically had to have all of those 13.
We did. We put ourselves in a predicament at Chanute in the league game. So we made the decision, and I'm glad we followed through.
And, you know.
So proud of our girls.
Oh, absolutely. And that'll be a very lasting legacy of 2020. And, you know, not to get on a soapbox, but everybody complains about how hard 2020's been, and there's absolutely truth to that. But guess what? For Anna Dean and for Maddie Brannon and for Shelby Wilson and for Heather Wilson, 2020 had a pretty big highlight.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
we got to hang the banner. They already put the banner in the gym.
Got it up real quick.
I know. It was great. And so we were already smiling, you know, recognizing how big of a deal it was. So.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. You got to get back to school. So
got to go teach some class.
Absolutely. Good luck with your play. I hope and pray it gets off without a hitch or without any more hitches, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure that'll be another highlight, I'm sure.
I hope so.
But thank you for coming on. Thank you, listeners, for joining us on the War Room today. If you see Heather Wilson on the street, stay 6 feet the hell away from her. she has too much to do. And we'll catch you next week. Please, everybody, God bless. Stay safe and just wear the damn mask.